Hello and welcome to the world of Avatar. My name is Paul and these guys call me their Game Master. And you're listening to Pokemon Rollout. We are typically a real play Pokemon tabletop RPG podcast. But right now we are in the midst of our episodes. We are playing Avatar Legends, the role playing game. As I said, I'm Paul and I'll be playing your Game Master. Nick, who's our typical GM, will be playing the Earthbender He Jing. Michael plays the Fiery Firebender, Ji. And Hannah, my daughter, is playing the Waterbender, Hanu. So let's get you right back into the action. Hanu, what are you doing now? You've gone away from Captain Mossy at the barge, and you're now, and you've also been turned away because you tried to trick the people at the Burning Wave. You have two other groups you could potentially go take a look at. You have the more raggedy group, or you also have the group that has more of an air of superiority and bullying going on. Or you can also return back to the barge if you want to.
I want to take a second shot at the barge and sort of say...
So you're gonna return to the barge and report what you've found so far? Because right now, Ji and He Jing are at the barge. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go back there?
Yeah, I'll go back there, also sort of checking in on Kohala and making sure that he did run off to join another pirate.
Oh, no, Kohala's just kind of hanging out in the background here, not doing a whole lot like a good GMPC should. So Kohala, so Hanu comes back, and Captain Mossy goes, oh, that is quite the backstory. Well, I mean, to each his own, and so he kind of just lets it go that He Jing didn't have the drink with them here.
He Jing's head is buried in his hands. They can assume for what it is, but it's just like, oh, good grief.
He sees the other friend come here, and he says, oh, and your other friend almost forgot about you. Waiter, get us another Tui-en-la. So he orders another round. a third drink for himself, but another one for Hanu here.
While this is going on, sorry to cut in if I can. The person who He Jing was stood against, is there a way to tell if that person is resentful or having any sort of thing?
Macau went to the bar and grabbed a couple of drinks and has come down and sat by you guys as well. And Captain Mossy goes, well, folks, I'm quite impressed by you. I don't see many people who can take the push and the pull of a Tui-en-la like Ji here and He Jing. You did quite the number on Macau here. And then he turns around. Macau, don't be sorry. Don't be so sour about that. He bested you fair and square. And Macau, like, kind of grumbled, goes, yeah, I know. I'll get you next time. Maybe we'll get you another round later tonight. So he's pretty good hearted about it.
Okay, I was hoping he'd be resentful. Could
he use that? Sorry. You guys are seemingly starting to get in the good graces of Captain Mossy here. And so Captain Mossy says, friends, and I do mean this now. I mean, now that we've shared a couple of rounds together here, what the heck brings you to the Crimson Isle here? Because we haven't seen you folks here before. And this is not the place that you necessarily want to be. As fun as we're having here, it could have turned out differently if you met up with a different captain first.
Well, we've heard, of course, many great tales of the Crimson Pirates, right?
It's the Crimson Isle. Yes, they are the Crimson
Sails.
Yeah, sure. You can call it in general the Crimson Pirates. Sure, why not?
Okay. We've heard many great tales of the Crimson Pirates, of your acts of bravery and intellect, and also your many great treasures. I'm told this is an isle of great wealth and opportunity, and I thought that my crew and I would come and investigate and see whether it was worth our time and attention to take up with ye.
What do you want to roll for that?
Oh, good question. Trick, maybe? Yeah. Yeah, probably. Probably a trick.
Yeah. Unless you see anything on your I don't think there's anything on the back as far as moves that you have that you can use necessarily.
Well, I don't think any of mine would apply at this point, so yeah, we'll call it a trick. Okay. I have a plus zero to creativity.
Yeah, roll is creativity.
So that's an eight.
Okay. So on a seven, on a mixed success, you pick one of these things. So with this one, you either they stumble, you take one forward on acting against them. So that means one forward, I need to look this up here again here. That means you get, I think if you're still working off of this trick here, you get to roll it a plus one on anything that applies to that.
It's combat.
When move tells you to take plus one forward, you gain plus one on your next roll that applies. These on your next roll, you get a plus one.
Okay.
There are two other things that he could do.
Okay, so that'd be one option here. They can act foolishly. The GM tells you what additional opportunity they give you. They overcommit. They are deceived for some time.
I think I'm going to go with the second option. They act foolishly. The GM tells you what additional opportunity they give you.
Okay.
Because that's more or less the goal, what I'm trying to get from him.
Okay.
Give me an opportunity to come and take the treasure.
Okay. And so you said that you were coming. What was the reason you said you were coming again? You said you were coming because?
Because they were known for their brave and powerful exploits and also for having a great deal of wealth and treasure that they've recovered.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're looking for great exploits, you are here with the Dancing Nobleman Fleet. You are at a great spot because we are all about pulling off a big score and having the best of times in our pirating here. But based on what we've done here, you'd be welcome here. Now there are some other factions here you might also consider here. There's also the, if you're looking for lots of wares and treasures, the Burning Wave. With Captain Duga, they are always getting in the best things here. In fact, they're pulling in. They've kind of moved away from all the piracy. They've actually started to do some honest living. Can you believe it? Pirates doing honest living with trades and trying to actually do a thing for the people. I can't believe Captain Duga with that. Then there are their rivals, the Renegade Phoenix. They are also a very aggressive crew, they have such bad blood with the Burning Wave. They are the huge rivals with them. They are a little bit fiercer. That's kind of their main thing. They want to take action against the Burning Wave. I'm not sure if you may want to steer clear of them. And then, of course, you've of course heard of the Pirate Howler, haven't you? The Howlers,
of course, their fame's spread wide.
Those on the Pirate Howler, those are the kind of snooty ones to see over there. They're the ones they're definitely very skilled, very powerful, and they're led by our new leader, High Captain Ninka. Mossy kind of scowls and shakes his head at the mention of Captain Ninka. They're also a very successful pirate crew, so if you want to check with them, you can as well. And any of these groups would be good to work with you. And if you act anything like you did with me here today, they'd probably welcome you aboard.
So do we know where which crew has the treasure that we're looking for?
You don't know that yet. No. You know that. I've kind of outlined for you the main pirate factions here. With Captain, so one more time here, and let's say Mossy said this in character. He mentioned first the Burning Wave. He mentioned first the Dancing Nobleman Fleet, which he is the captain of. He also mentioned the Burning Wave, which is captained by Captain Duga, who they're the ones that have generally nicer things, and they are. What do they want to do? They want to specifically trade. Work on, trade and they're actually doing some and mercantile operations. So they're actually starting to turn to more of an honest life instead of kind of pirating. Mm. The Renegade Phoenix, they are captained in by Tang Fei. Tang Fei has a... Again, Mossy's telling you this in character, even though I'm not right now. Yep. Tang Fei has a huge... beef with Duga, and they are they do more of like the pillaging and pirating and raiding than some of the other ones. They are and Captain Mossy says ever since the treaty was broke with Farlord Zuko, they have gone to more raiding and pillaging than they did before when we were under Fire Lord Ozai. And then, of course, the Pyre Howler, now captained by High Captain Ninka. They're the most elite group of the bunch there. They, the best pirates are there. I mean, we call her High Captain for a reason. She's the leader of the whole group. So High Captain Ninka, she is the leader of the Crimson Isle. Is what you're gathering from that. So yeah, you can kind of go in all of those places. But I will say that, like, at this point, you have Captain Mossy's favor. What do you guys want to do from here? In fact, do we want to take a moment and let Hanu mention anything that she noticed or found?
Well, I was going to say, give me a moment to confer with my crew, and I'm going to step us all aside.
So. Mossy chuckles at the term of crew, but...
Mm-hmm. Anyway, what did you find?
The crew of the Burning Wave, when I asked them to look at their wares from Mossy, they wouldn't let me pass.
Interesting.
Kahola speaks in, it's like, well, I mean, yeah, he's the captain of a different ship. They're not going to just tell you about the wares that they have for outright to another captain. That'd be foolish.
I wonder if this high-profile treasure might not be in the wares of the high captain. That's where I would be most inclined to check.
We could potentially inquire on Captain Mossy to see if he has any idea who went out on a fire ship raid recently.
Yes, perhaps we should ask directly for what we're looking for.
Let's try it. Captain Mossy.
Yes, my lady.
Of all of the crews and ships that have gone out, who has most recently come with a strong haul, if you will?
I would say maybe an assess the situation.
Yes, let's do that. Let's see, I don't think Xi necessarily has to be the one who does this, so if someone else would like to step in and ask this, because I feel like... This could also be, you know, He's Jing suggested that we just ask it directly. Would anyone like to roll with creativity? Does anyone have good creativity? No one has good creativity, do they?
I don't think any of us has great creativity, so I might as well do it.
They're uncreative.
Okay. Not me, I have a minus one.
So, who would like to roll assess the situation?
I can roll it, and then, since I already have a fatigue mark, well, I guess...
So do He's I,
Jing
yeah.
also has a... Fatigue,
fatigue doesn't take anything for this. This doesn't take any fatigue.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of like the help move. Like,
okay, so if someone wanted else to be able help. To help,
I could help.
Right.
In
well, don't do it yet.
Yeah.
I'll try rolling the assess the situation.
Yeah,
you can
give him a plus one after the roll. That's right.
All
I should have read that before. Right. That's okay. That's a 9.
Give the plus one for an unmitigated success. Well, you can already ask one question, so do you need more than one question?
I don't think so.
I think we only just need one question.
Okay. Then, yeah, we don't need to add a...
All right, so which of these questions do you want to ask, then, in regards to this? And I can try and interpret it, but, like, what question do you want to ask?
It's, what here can I use to blank? Who or what is the biggest threat? What should I be on the lookout for? What's my best way in, out, in, or through? Who or what is the greatest danger?
I feel like, what should I be on the lookout for is probably the best question there.
That's where I was leaning. Yeah, what should I be on the lookout for?
Or what's my best way into the treasure? But what should I be on the lookout for is probably more direct.
That was my second thought. Yeah, I think, what should I be on the lookout for?
With that success, Mossy says, well, I mean, it really could be any one of them here, but I feel like the Howlers with High Captain Ninka, and again, you see, so hear some disdain in his voice. They pulled in something a little bit special fairly recent, and they've been kind of protective about their area there. So if you're looking for something, that might be the place where I'd start.
I think we'll go and have a chat with High Captain Ninka and see what we can learn from their methods. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, best of luck to you. Hopefully you find the score that you're looking for. Mossy reiterates, you always have a friend.
I appreciate it, Captain Mossy. You are a scholar and a gentleman.
Mossy gives a hearty laugh at that and and he gives you a pat that makes you double over on the back there. All right. So you guys are making the way to the Pyre Howler.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pyre Howler, let's talk about this here real quick. It's a sleek, three-masted ship flying the standard of a skull in front of a full moon. Unlike more flashy pirate ships, the Pyre Howler is painted in dull colors to move around unobtrusively and wouldn't stand out next to other ships of the same, say, for its banner. Captain Ninka spends most of her time... this is for me. A good number of Howlers always remain stationed on the ship at any one time. So, you come up to the ship as it is docked here, and this is, I guess, a little more inland. It is right off of the central island there. So you see probably a half dozen people working, loading things on it and off of the Pyre Howler, working on this. In fact, you see they're taking... from some of the other encampments. So you see like some people coming from the Dancing Nobleman fleet, from the Burning Wave, from the Renegade Phoenix, these other ships. We see them, you know, taking some things from these other ships as they load things on and off of these ships. What do you do?
Anybody have a good plan of attack? Not literally.
How about we switch roles and have G sort of, you know, look around for maybe where storage could be, and He Jing will sort of stay with Hanu working on how to get G more into restricted areas.
Sorry to derail. I think that might work, but as just a quick aside, you said there are a lot of people kind of like moving in and out and things. Is there a place or a period where people are kind of isolated more or less, where you could catch someone?
Let me rephrase this, because I didn't describe this to you very well. The Crimson Isle, as I said, it has lots of boats lashed down. There's a small piece of land kind of in the center there, a relatively small piece of land. But all the other ships are connected by, like, gangplanks, and they are connected in various ways. And so it's not uncommon for people to be doing work either on the ship or on a dock next to it, or just, like, kind of wherever. So you see this older man who is sitting there working on sharpening some blades. So he's not quite on the deck, but he's sitting there just kind of minding his business. And he's sharpening weapons.
Let me explain what I'm hoping to do and then re-ask the question. I apologize. Here is what I am thinking, and maybe I'm just getting too to the point for it. He Jing has a animal companion, a mongoose lizard that is explicitly via the rules large enough for all of us to ride on. However,
nice.
He Jing does not have a passion score, and you need to use have a passion score to intimidate. So what I am asking is there someone we can get alone so that we can actually start asking the actual questions we want to ask? Because we are trying to be polite to a large group of pirates.
Yes.
Let's just...
Gotcha.
Like, there is no reason for us to forge good relationships with these people.
Gotcha. So you're saying you want to bribe people with money, is what you're saying?
No, I want to put them in the mouth of my mongoose lizard and ask some questions.
Oh. Okay. All right.
I like that.
Like, He Jing is sitting here going, I would have arrested every single person here if I had the manpower for it. what are we doing? Like, our job here is not to work with these pirates, make sure we have good relations, and smuggle out the stuff that they stole. It is to get back the things that they stole.
Yes, okay. Let's get to that then.
I have an idea for how G might want to go about this. I have an idea for a push your luck role where, you know, we've got this area that's kind of that's teeming with pirates and we want to get one alone. So she's going to want to try to get in a corner, a dark corner, where she can wait for just the right time, you know, kind of the shift change sort of situation where, you know, if they're coming in twos and threes or something, you know, maybe a group of them has gone and taken stuff and she's waiting for just the right time when one guy just like leans back against the ship to just catch his breath really quick. And she's going to snatch him and pull him off where the mongoose lizard can grab it tight. And then we can start intimidating it and asking the questions.
Yeah, go ahead then and roll with push your luck. Roll with passion, okay. Please.
That's a passion roll. I get a plus two.
To my nice.
That's an 8 plus 2 is 10.
Excellent. So that is a full success. Great. So yeah, you take him and no one seems to notice a whole lot. Like the partner that this person was working with. Oh, that bum off for another smoke break. So you pull him
and he's literally a firebender who's just like producing flame and creating smoke out of it.
Oh boy. not to do an aside, but on a 10 plus for push your luck, your boldness pays off despite the cost. The GM tells you what other lucky opportunity falls in your lap. So we got a bonus.
And so what we'll do for this one here is, if you guys are okay with this, how about we make this a plus one to I assume you're going to want to do an intimidate after this?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So with this here, like, you have quite surprised him despite his overall skill. You really caught him unaware. And so I would say that your intimidation checks are going to go even better. Would a plus one be acceptable to this, or do you want something else lucky falling into your lap?
I think that works. The only other thing I could think of as the something else lucky is this guy is guaranteed to know what we want, to at least know something about what we want. Mm. So it's not just, oh, I don't know anything, please don't hurt me.
Yeah. Go ahead. So with this, describe what has transpired here. I know we've kind of alluded to it, but between Xi and He Jing, please tell us what has happened here in this interaction.
He Jing, tell us how the mongoose lizard has him.
Balbo is the name of the mongoose lizard. And it's nice. Kind of like He Jing basically put it off of the boat after they landed. So that's kind of been swimming around there. And so once Xi grabs this person, basically throws him overboard. And as he's going over, the mongoose lizard has been kind of climbing up the side and just grabs and wraps around him. And I just see it bright orange fur with patches of bright green scales kind of interspersed between, and like an elongated mongoose mouth with really sharp, like, snaggling teeth. So it's just wrapped up in it with, like, kind of the boneless body movement that, you know, a mongoose can do, kind of like swirling in. And then it's just like looming over him with its mouth open. It's not quite in, like, the man isn't quite in its jaws, but it's close enough that it's just kind of like framing it there. And so that he's out at kind of like a slight angle with Xi standing over him and the mongoose lizard just clutched over his head.
Let's say you've grabbed him and his name is Lee. There's a thousand Lees.
Lees.
So you grab Lee, and Lee is like, oh, a mongoose lizard, don't hurt me, like, what do you want?
We are looking for the treasure that Fire Lord Zuko wants back.
A few days past, a shipment going from the Fire Nation to the Earth Kingdom was waylaid. We believe it was by your fleet. They stole something rather precious, supplies, as well as a few other items going as a gesture of goodwill from the Fire Nation to the Earth Kingdom. Where are these things?
What he said. And you better answer quick or you're going to be mongoose lizard food, and I guarantee you won't go down easy.
No, 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 No. Okay. So I'm not gonna make you guys roll for this just because intimidate doesn't fit this very well, actually.
Okay.
But I think with so yes, you're intimidating him, but if you read what intimidate does, yeah. It's more of like it just doesn't fit with this necessarily.
It's more like an in combat thing, yeah. Which is very strange.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
So Captain Ninka, she's talking about this big huge score from a Fire Nation ship. It's not on the Howler though. It's on the Crimson Isle. It's on the island where she holds the meetings.
Where on the island?
By the lagoon. There's a cave. The cave, and it has a table. With lots of daggers stabbed onto it. You can't miss it. It's just like... and so he kind of points in the direction for you to go and find it. That's where you're gonna... that's where she keeps all of her important stuff in that room there. So, that's where you're gonna need to go to find that treasure. Don't hurt me. Let me be.
How can we get there and get the treasure off without bringing down all of the wrath of all of the pirates?
I'm not gonna say anything about you guys. Nice mongoose lizard here. I'm not gonna say anything. But like, I mean, look around. There are a bunch of pirates. I don't know what you're gonna do for that.
Is there a dock that is close enough that we won't have to run all of the pirates?
Mm.
I'll go and read the description of it's called the Captain's Isle. The very center of Crimson Sails is a small island with a lagoon next to the cave wreathed in jungle flora. Inside the cave is a round table, crates filled with plunder and various forms of seating. The round table is stabbed with daggers of all the pirate captains who have made their home on Crimson Sails. Captain Ninka holds important meetings here with other captains of the island and makes general rulings on cases brought to her attention. The island is also used for voting on larger thorny issues that Ninka is willing to open to a vote. I'd say there's a lagoon that kind of goes to this cave here. I'd say that is, while there may be a boat or two docked there, there wouldn't be quite as much there. You could potentially get a boat in and out. I'm not going to say that it would be completely unseen without rolls, but...
Mm-hmm.
That might be your best way of doing that.
I don't know how large the treasure is, but the alternate is that I just established that the mongoose lizard can swim.
Yeah, and we can ride it.
Does it?
Cool. And you could earthbend the ground underneath the treasure and carry it that way.
Yeah, far enough.
Behind us on the mongoose
lizard.
Sort of tunnel it.
And you could waterbend it.
If you can waterbend, so.
Well, let's sneak in on the mongoose lizard. What's his Boba Fett? What's his name?
Lee. There's a million Lees.
Can I make a suggestion for Hanu to attach Lee to the side of wherever we are with ice so that he will eventually get free?
So would you like to describe how Hanu does that?
So He Jing throws Lee into the water. Hanu bends him closer to one of the dock supports and then just sort of freezes his whole body. And the ice and the water around him, just like no movement.
And Lee is just kind of happy to not be in the mouth of the mongoose lizard any longer. So go ahead and describe what happens next.
I think we would all get on Balbo and make it to the lagoon. Incidentally, when you and your friends travel via your animal companion, everyone clears all fatigue.
Oh, ooh, that's fun.
Easy.
Love that. So, forever fatigued, everybody just jump on Balbo.
I'm starting to really like Balbo.
Balbo is the ding 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 a ding.
Yes, exactly.
He's a ding 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 a ding lizard.
Although there are some other things that could happen, but yes, he at least removes the fatigue. Out of curiosity, does it say anything about statuses, Nick?
It does not remove conditions or statuses. What it says is when something hurts your animal companion, I mark a condition.
So you guys all help on Balbo, and you go ahead and make your way there. Let's have you guys... I want to get a roll off for this one here. I feel like this would be a rely on your skills and training... to get past relatively undetected, because I am envisioning this. There's probably like in this lagoon, There's probably a couple ships on either side as you come in, and you do want to go unnoticed from that. So
I can spearhead that since we're riding Balbo for it. So
excellent.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, go ahead and roll with focus, please.
Yep, which is 3 for me. That's a grand total of 8. I cannot roll well.
Yeah, no huge rolls here, but we'll take this here.
Could I make a suggestion for the thing that goes wrong, or the thing that the unexpected consequences?
Yeah, please do.
We get by undetected, but Balbo doesn't entirely, which means that rumors or worries of a sea monster of some sort in the area begins to spread, and so the pirates are on higher alert and are kind of the ships are shifting, which makes it a little harder for us to get out.
Sure, I like that. Otherwise, I was going to say, like, you guys get through mostly undetected, but like, so I'll let you choose either of these, Nick. Either you can choose that, or the other option is as you enter into the cave, Balbo makes a splash with his tail that draws the attention of one crew member on the pyre howler.
Ah, so someone's going to come take a look or raise the alarm.
Your choice.
The thing is, if they come to take a look, that's a vastly lower consequence. If they raise the alarm, that's a vastly higher consequence.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Let me think about this.
I would come to take a look. We can just ice tie them up.
Yeah, if we choose, come to take a look gives us a lot better chance of getting out of there.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. We can say, yeah, so we can say that, yeah, they will come to take a look in the near future. But as of right now, there is nothing necessarily hindering you as you enter in the cave.
Sounds good. That'll be what we do then.
Yeah, so you enter the cave, and you walk in a little ways, and maybe even to get a better, not to tell you guys what you do, but your only light source right now would be coming from one of you. not to tell Xi what to do, but maybe Xi lights a fire in order to guide you in there. And yeah, you do.
Maybe he Xi had to like nudge her a bit because she was a little bit drunk.
Yeah, how many drinks did Xi drink?
At least 2.
3?
Probably
At least
3 or more.
I think it was 3.
I think Mossy had 3. Yeah, so you come in here, and I suppose since nothing special is necessarily happening right now, you come in and you see the table with several daggers on it, representing the captains that are showing loyalty to High Captain Ninka. You also see in kind of we described there are various seatings before, but behind the most like the throne, if you will, for the high captain, you see just to the side of that a crate that has handles on it, a green base adorned with gold adornments, gold embellishments and things around it. You assume that this is most likely the treasure that Fire Lord Zuko is wanting to bring back to the Earth Kingdom.
This is what we're here for. Hishin, can you earthbend it up quietly?
Can I? It seems like something I could do, but is that a roll, or is that simply I do it?
I'd say if you just want to do it, you can do it. If you want to do it quietly...
That's what I'm thinking.
I'd say skills and training.
Yeah, rely on your skills and training.
Okay, let's see if I can roll higher than, 4 or 5 on this. Here we go.
At least it's on a focus for you still, so like it's really hard for you to
fail at this. I rolled 8 plus 3 is 11.
Alrighty. Nice!
You are indeed able to carefully earthbend this out of the cave to really right up to the point where you get to the mouth of the cave. But at this point here, you see two pirates come around the corner, like right as you guys are getting to the mouth, and they shout and say, "Hey, they're trying to take the treasure! Hey!" And so they are alerting the attention of more people on the pyre howler.
I think she is going to want to just fight them mm-hmm. off to clear a path so that we can get out quickly.
And that that looks like a good time to stop it for right now. So thank you for joining us on this Avatar Legends role-playing adventure. We will continue this on our next episode, where we can see what our heroes are going to do in order to secure this treasure for Prince Zuko. So thank you for joining us this week. You can find us online at tapestryradio.org/PokemonRollout or on Twitter at Pokeroll Podcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/Pokeroll Pokerollout. Join our Facebook group, the Pokemon Rollout Tap Room. As long as you are not a robot, we'll approve your request to join. There you can join the conversation with creators and fans and become part of the Pokemon Rollout community. Also, follow us on our network on Twitter at Tapestry Radio, and check out some of our other great shows at Tapestry Radio, like Intermission, Michael and Ethan in a Room with Scotch, Freddy Goes to a Podcast, and Us Play Fiasco. Special thank you to Rocco W. for our theme music, Electric Donkey Muscles, and feel free to check the show notes for other music and sound effects used in this episode. Once again, I'm Paul, and you can follow me on Twitter or X at ProfSnag.
I'm Michael. You can find me at MGLALIENTHAL.
I'm Nick. You can find me technically at Pokeroll Nick, though I haven't posted there in full years, but yes, I'm there too.
And I'm Hannah, and you can't find me anywhere because I don't have an account.
And of course, you can find Lydia on Twitter at Lil_Shadow8. Oh, this is weird. Who? Where's this? Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Behind Your Eyelid. What? This is such a weird experience. If you like what we do here on Pokemon Rollout, tell a friend, retweet us, and especially rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you really like us, donate to us on Patreon, patreon.com/PokerollPodcast, and get some sweet rewards. Special thanks to our patrons, Dr. Odno, Kyle Albert, Peter Statmuller, Andrew Case, Micah Greenspoon, David Harshman, Taylor Bonaforte, Michael, Askablad, Zach Parsons, Jeffrey Sho, Casey DeFritas, Froxus, Andrew Weil, Spencer Toole, Arming Sword and Buckler, Legendary Starlink, Scotty Newton, Urson93, Terry Fowl, Julie Egan, Vincent Nazarishan, Lauren Paulson, Nathan Hamilgarn, Lance, Big Fat Nuke, Stephanie Rainauer, Wern the Patronizer, Autumn and April Art, Daniel Marby, the Gaming Motion Artist, Magical Girl in Training, Justin Brennan, and Rick Jenkins. Who? You guys are awesome, even though it may not be able to pronounce your handles. You guys are truly awesome, and we can't say it enough. We really appreciate all that you do, gentle listeners, for us. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you later.
Obscurantism and obfuscation.
Orally observed, gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Obviated objects of oblivion.
Obambulating about.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
In the Tapestry Radio Network.
TapestryRadio.org.
From our fancy to yours.